What damages your ordination credibility? I wish somebody would have shared these points with me over 3 decades ago when I was ordained. First of all, it's the obvious. Your credibility will automatically be dampened if people see that you are not close with the Lord. A lukewarm relationship with God decreases your credibility, and people can just see it. They'll just know. People will not follow someone if they don't feel that this person is going to take them closer to God. Be all for God and grow in that relationship. Revelation 3:16. So because you are lukewarm, neither hot nor cold, I'm about to spit you out of my mouth. This was said of a whole community, a church. But it's so important for you as an ordained leader. Secondly, confuse calling with vocation. Ministry, a ministry assignment, even a position where you're paid for ministry, at its essence, it is not a job. Acts 8 verse 13 tells the story of Simon, who himself believed and was baptized. And he followed Philip everywhere, astonished by the great signs and miracles he saw. And do you know what Simon wanted to do? He wanted to purchase his ordination, his ministry standing. And that was a story where he was seriously rebuked. And it ended where he was told to desperately pray. Simon himself was praying that he would be okay with God for asking of such a thing. I've seen various pastors over the years. I've been to seminary with other leaders, and sometimes I felt, this is 30 years ago, that they thought this was a profession. Oh, I want to help people, so I want to get into the ministry. And if I look back at those lives, most of those people are not in the ministry anymore, and their experience of the ministry was bad, terrible, indifferent. Often they have bitterness now, because calling is the essence of pastoral ordination. Even in my own life, even people I personally know who went into ministry, but they saw it as a job, they have not done well. So remember, do not confuse calling with vocation. Ministry is a calling, whether you get paid or not. Here's something else that will really take your ordination off the tracks: gossip. Confidentiality is essential. Proverbs 11, verse 13, a gossip betrays a confidence, but a trustworthy man keeps a secret. There is no room for gossip in ordination. You're going to find out things and characteristics about people's lives, and you are held in strictest confidence. Lying, slander, excessive exaggeration, untruth of any kind. Colossians 3 verse 9, do not lie to each other, since you have taken off your old self with its practices. If you have a lying spirit, really just stop this ordination track. A lying spirit and ordination do not go together. Stealing. In ministry, always keep accurate records of money. Whatever, in general, be very careful to not put yourself in temptation's way. He who has been stealing must steal no longer, but must work, doing something useful with his own hands, so he may have something to share with those in need. As a pastor, what I would do is I would not count the money of collections. That was separate. There were so many controls placed because I didn't even want the appearance like I was touching money. So in this ordination, just stay away from even the appearance of stealing. So don't steal, but stay away from the appearance that you're involved with money. Here's something that can just literally cripple your calling: bitterness. If you have unresolved conflict, maybe there's a lack of forgiveness in your life, ordination is not for you. That bitter root, like Hebrews 12, verse 15, see to it that no one misses the grace of God and that no bitter root grows up to cause trouble and defile many. That bitter root will come back and hurt your ordination, hurt your ministry standing. What will happen is somebody will be brought into your life and that person will push the very buttons of that unresolved conflict, and next thing you know, you'll just puke out anger toward a person who has no idea what this is about. So if you have a bitterness right now, I would go to your pastor, your mentor, your leader, and just really take care of business. Maybe you need to ask someone to help you with this. You can contact peacefire.net and learn about being more of a peaceable, peace-filled leader. Here's something that will also hurt your ministry: the lack of relational boundaries. And those relational boundaries come in various ways. One of them is make sure you maintain sexual boundaries. Hebrews chapter 13, verse 4 and 5. Marriage should be honored by all, and the marriage bed kept pure, for God will judge the adulterer and all sexual immoral. Keep your lives free from the love of money and be content with what you have, because God has said, never will I leave you. So there is something about that with sexuality in ministry. And you've heard stories of pastors who broke down boundaries and church leaders that have broke down boundaries. You know, the essence of this is just keep sexuality in the marriage bed. And if you're single, that's not in your life right now to be mixing sexual urges with ministry opportunities. Try to keep those very much separated. Here's another lack of relational boundaries that can torpedo your ministry ordination: is poor friendship boundaries. And let me give you an example of one. If you're in ministry and basically you have friends who don't love God and are not open to your evangelism, they're unteachable, and maybe they're childhood friends, and whenever you're together with them, they bring you down, it's time to find new friends. 1 Corinthians 15, verse 33, don't be misled. Bad company corrupts good character. This is so true. So who you are in a relationship to your community is very important. Now, am I saying don't hang around with unbelievers? No. Meet unbelievers. But make sure that they are interested in what you have to say, that the arrow is pointing and they're coming more toward Christ. They're not cold, calloused against Christ, and they're not leading you away from Christ. Another lack of relational boundaries is emotional boundaries. Make sure that you maintain good emotional boundaries. Avoid things like over-empathy or the world rests on me mentality. You know, when you're in ministry, you're going to hear many things, and you can start empathizing to the point where you become depressed. Or you can start, thinking, what can I do? What can I do? I have to help. I have to help. The world depends on me. The world depends on me. Elijah had that somewhat. In 1 Kings 19, verse 14, and some of the verses following, we read, he replied, I have been very zealous for the Lord God Almighty. The Israelites have rejected your covenant, broken down your altars, put your prophets to death with the sword. I'm the only one left, and now they are trying to kill me too. Now here's a story where he flees into a cave, and finally God has to say, look, where am I? In the still small voice. In other words, God is with you. God fights the battles. Somebody may share various things with you, but you do not need to internalize and try to figure out how it all goes. Just understand this. God has a plan. Everybody has their journey. Your responsibility is to proclaim the gospel, to be the encourager. Here's another one of maintaining emotional boundaries in this way. Be a thermostat, not a thermometer. We talked about this in the People Smart class. When you walk into a room, if your emotions bring the whole room down. It's very difficult to be an encourager to proclaim the gospel. I love what the Apostle Paul said in 2 Timothy 4:2. Preach the word, be prepared in season and out of season, correct, rebuke, encourage, with great patience and careful instructions. I love how he said, be prepared in season and out of season. You know, in my journey here at Christian Leaders Institute, I've met many students. And sometimes I'll feel like they're more like thermometers. And they're just really not ready for ministry. A thermostat is where you set the temperature of the room. And you can even set that temperature in a self-aware way when Christ is healing all of your past. You can come into a room and you say, you know what? God is great. I glorify God. We're going to experience the blessing of God today. Now, what happens if you have a bad day where you feel the hurt of emotional harm or your past? Well, even in that moment, in season or out of season, say, Holy Spirit, may I be a thermostat today, no matter how I'm feeling inside. Another relational boundary that can be lacking, that can hurt your ministry, is if your family is hurting in a way where you are not taking care of business at home. Maintain healthy family boundaries. 1 Timothy 3:4-5. He must manage his own family well and see that his children obey him with proper respect. If anyone does not know how to manage his own family, how can he take care of God's church? Now, does this mean that all your kids are going to turn out perfectly? It does not mean that. It means that you lead and manage your family, that the gospel is constantly proclaimed, that discipleship, home discipleship is happening, that you're praying. There will be a spiritual warfare in your family. I know in my own family the great amount of spiritual warfare. And over a long period of time, as you've memorized passages and prayed, we know from Scripture that the word does not return void, but the word must be proclaimed in your family. Those prayers, that love, all those things in your home are very important. So ministry cannot be where ministry takes my whole life and your family suffers. Here's another thing that can really hurt your ministry: slacking in your work. When your pastor or leader or person who's your council, your consistory, your elders, or who you're accountable to, when they ask you to do something, do it. Be diligent. Be productive. Proverbs 18, verse 9, one who slacks in his work is a brother to one who destroys. Proverbs 31 woman who is diligent in what she does. Now, what do I mean by slacking in your work? Can you be more specific? I've worked with people over the years who, they're great people on the surface, and I believe they are. But somehow or other, we can't get anything done together. It's as if what we want done, what I as the leader in the organization want done, is not the first priority, but other things are the priorities. Slacking in your work in a local church ministry is such that, okay, so if you're asked to follow up on the visitors who visit the church, for instance, just do that. That's essential. That's like as a senior pastor is asked to preach every week. Now, if he says one week, you know, I just don't want to do that, or that's too hard, I didn't feel like it, ultimately he'd be held accountable. There are things that are done in the church, such as like following up, or and I've seen that over the years. So someone's position is, I'm going to follow up on the new visitors. So we'll have a staff meeting, and they'll talk about they've done this, they've done that, they've enjoyed that. But the one thing that I'm most interested in is the new people are followed up with. That one thing is not done. And I don't know what to do about that because I see other things that are nice, and it would be very difficult politically in a church to just, you know, let someone go. But that slacking your work ultimately forces me to have to make a decision to go another way with staff. So it can really hurt your ministry, slacking in your work. Here's another one, meddling. Watch what battles you take on. 1 Peter 4 verse 15, if you suffer, it should be not as a murderer or a thief or any kind of criminal or even a meddler. Proverbs 26 verse 17, like one who seizes a dog by the ears is a passerby who meddles in a quarrel, not his own. In ministry, you will have the opportunity to meddle every single day in battles that are not your own. You may even find, you know, people will say something about the senior pastor and then you can meddle in there and ultimately bring harm to yourself. Meddling will hurt your ordination. Here's another thing that will hurt your ordination. Being a know-it-all. Having a lot of knowledge about everything and just being once, just say your mind to anyone about how you know the way it is and they don't. Make sure that love guides your knowledge. 1 Corinthians 8 verse 1. Now about food sacrifices to idols. We know that we all possess knowledge. Knowledge puffs up, but love builds up. Be very careful in being the know-it-all. In fact, we hear in Proverbs 2 is be a listener. We hear in James, be quick to listen, slow to speak. Here's another one. Ignorance of sound doctrine will hurt your calling, your ordination into ministry. Keep learning and growing in biblical knowledge. Titus 1 verse 9, he must hold firmly to the trustworthy message as it has been taught, so he can encourage others by sound doctrine and refute those who oppose him. You're here at Christian Leaders Institute because you know that you need this training. And this training is available. Your ignorance of this training would hurt your ordination. Now, I don't think I have to convince you of that very much because you're here at Christian Leaders Institute getting the training. But I would encourage you, don't just stop. Keep going. Go as far as you can so that you know the things of God and how to contextualize them in leadership to those you are called to lead. Here's another one, a judgmental spirit. And all I can do on this one is say, look at Galatians 6 verse 1. Brothers, if someone is caught in a sin, you who are spiritual should restore him gently. But watch yourself. You may also be tempted. Carry each other's burdens in such a way that you will fulfill the law of Christ. If anyone thinks he is something when he is nothing, he deceives himself. Each one should test his own actions. Then he can take pride in himself without comparing himself to someone else. For each one should carry his own load. Any time that I went to a judgmental spirit in ministry, it has brought hurt on my ministry. And you know, in the judgmental spirit is easy to slip in because you see, based upon the Word of God, what someone is doing wrong. And sometimes you say, come on, brother, come on, sister, wake up. And you can sort of come off in a way that then all of a sudden the walls are put up. What I've learned from Galatians 6 verse 1 is so true. God has everyone on their own path. And we can keep pointing them back to Christ. We can pray. But don't have this, I've got it figured out and you don't attitude. It just hurts your ministry ordination. Being offensive. Seriously. Being offensive can hurt your ministry big time. Stay away from sarcasm. Including cutting down humor, little passive-aggressive barbs, coarse and cutting language. You know, when we hear about coarse language in the Bible, I believe the essence of coarse language is, you know, not in only a specific word. A lot of times we'll say, you said that word is coarse word. More, it's the word's intent. Does it cut down? Does it make someone less? 1 Peter 3, 4, instead it should be that of an inner self, the unfading beauty of a gentle and quiet spirit, which is of great worth in God's sight. This is spoken of about women, the women of old, women now today. So whether man or woman, it's having that I am not going to cut anybody down. Sometimes it happens when we don't even expect it. That sarcasm, that maybe that we learn from our own family, creeps up, and we use that sarcasm to put somebody in their place. Instead of lifting them up, we basically cut them in half. That's what sarcasm is. It's about cutting. prejudice can hurt your ministry. Whether it's racism, whether it's elitism, they have wealth, this person doesn't. Show no favoritism. James 2 verse 1, my brothers, sisters, as believers in our glorious Lord Jesus, don't show favoritism. Be willing to eat at the house of those with nothing, very different from yourself, but also eat at the house with those who have much. And don't treat them better because they have more. In the end, stay away from prejudice. It will hurt your ministry. In conclusion, what I'd like to do is have you read, after you see this video, Colossians chapter 3, starting at verse 12. I'll read three verses out of here. Therefore, as God's chosen people, holy and dearly loved, clothe yourself with compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. Bear with each other and forgive whatever grievances you may have against each other. Forgive as the Lord forgave you. And over all these virtues, put on love, which binds them together, all together in perfect unity. If you keep reading in Colossians 3, you'll get a picture of these encouragements from Scripture. I would even recommend memorize this. Put this to memory, that in your mind, this kind of a relational ordination lifestyle, the way you treat people is something inside your heart, in your mind, in your walk with the Lord, in your walk in ministry, that you may glorify God in your ordination.